I am a pastor. I've been a pastor. We planted a church about 10 years ago here in West Virginia, about 2 hours north of here in Weston, West Virginia. And before that, I was a youth pastor for a lot of years and worked with college-age students. And I'm really excited to be able to share this topic with you about discerning truth. And I want, first of all, to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. You're probably familiar, at least a little bit, with this passage. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse number 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with" what? "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." I want to talk to you a little bit today about truth and discerning truth. It seems much easier to me if we would fight a war where all sides were properly identified. I don't know if you've ever studied a little bit of history, and I'm not a huge history buff, but I think about the Revolutionary War and at least what has been portrayed. It seems like you have a bunch of people in very distinct uniforms, and it seems as though they just like stood up in a line and shot each other. I mean, that's kind of what's depicted, you know? I know it's a little bit more thought out than that, but what I'm saying is, in a battle, it is much easier to fight when you can identify who the enemy is, at least in the sense of clarity. The real battle today is about truth. The book that Stephen mentioned in this last session, I believe is an important topic, especially for you guys. I don't know, as a pastor in the last 10 years, how many people have been raised in a Christian home. They've been raised in church, and you would look at them. They're the people at camp. They're the people at student prayer advance. They're the people that seem like the most grounded people in the youth group. And one psychology class, their freshman year in a secular college, and like their whole faith is just crumbling. And it's a battle and a strategic attack on truth. And we must ask ourselves the question, what is true? What source of truth can be trusted? It feels like a new tactic, but it's really not. In fact, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, we find that Satan puts a question mark on truth. He makes Adam and Eve question what God had said is truth. And so he put a question mark on the credibility of what God said. I believe, as we saw there in Ephesians chapter 6, he says that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the schemes of the devil. And so if we realize that we have an enemy, and this enemy that we have, the Bible says, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if this enemy is walking around like a lion seeking whom he may devour, sometimes, and I would say most times, it is in the form of this scheme. It's in this form of a trick or a snare, these wiles of the devil. And I believe for our generation, the credibility of what is true is one of the biggest ways the devil attacks us. In Genesis chapter 3, I mentioned it, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree." And if you read that account, you'll find out that when the serpent had repeated back what God said, he repeated it back wrong, and then Eve repeated it back wrong. There's four types of truth, and if you're taking notes, I would suggest writing these down. These four types of truth, I'm sure that you could put more categories. It's just what I wrote down. But you have accepted truth. The accepted truth is cultural norms, known science. If you go back far enough, what is known today was not known then. There were things we have in our town, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. And it's this huge pre-Civil War hand-cut stone building. It's a beautiful architectural building. But in that building, they have a little museum, and that's where they would treat the mentally ill. And as you go through that museum and you see their methods of treatment, it would make you and I go, like, what in the world were they thinking? Let's just stick this small tube up in their brain and poke around a little bit. I'll bet that'll cure them. Like, who comes up with this stuff, right? How about electroshock therapy? Let's put them in a bathtub and with water, and let's just shock them until they get better. So that was like cutting-edge science at that time. Well, let's cut them and just let them bleed out, and maybe that will help their mental health. And so this is like cutting-edge science stuff at that time in history. So that was trusted truth. If you ask anybody at that time, you know, how do you treat mental illness? They're like, I tell you what, I think you should throw them in a bathtub and shock the living daylights out of them, and I think that'll work. And they're like, you know what? Trusted truth right there. So then you have cultural norms. You have things that's just accepted in our culture today that it's not necessarily true, but it's accepted as truth. So you have accepted truth. The second type of truth I want to mention to you is a trusted truth. This is information that we get from someone you love, someone you trust. And how many of you, I really don't want to just ruin anybody's life right now, but how many of you grew up believing in Santa Claus or, you know, the stork or the tooth fairy or something like that? This little girl, yeah, guys, I'm sorry, it's not true. Oh man, are you okay? Devastation right here at the Student Prayer Advance. Can you believe this, though? Like, this little girl come in, and she goes, Pastor, I lost a tooth, but the tooth fairy didn't show up, and she's all upset, you know, like, yeah, your mama's broke, that's why. But anyway, we never did that growing up. Number one, I'm, like, selfish. I want my kids to know that I worked, I bought you these presents. Santa Claus didn't visit last night. I busted my tail to buy you these presents. I want the credit. I'm not giving the credit to jolly old St. Nicholas, you know? So my reasons for not going down that tradition was mainly just selfish, and I recognize that. But what I'm telling you is there is a trusted truth. This is information that comes from someone that you love and trust. And so we accept it. We accept it as truth. How many of you ever believed something because your parents told you? I hate to break this to you, but it is not illegal to drive with the cargo light on in the vehicle. You will not get arrested for that. I told my kids that because I was so distracted by the light. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, babe. The cops will pull us over. They'll arrest your daddy, throw him in jail. And so, you know, they grew up thinking, oh, my goodness. We can't put the lights on. I mean, my middle daughter is 11 years old, and you know, she turned the light on, and just by habit, she goes, oh, and you know, shut it off real quick. And it was a trusted truth. I told her she believed it. I love this because I love to pick on gullible people. You know, I love to just throw out information. My wife will ask me sometimes. We driving down the road. We're out of town. We have no idea the area, you know, that we're in. It's not like we live there. And we're driving through this area, and there's road construction, and they're building, you know, this big building over here. And she's like, what are they building over there? Like, I have that information, you know? And so, you know what? I just make something up. I'm like, well, it's a factory that distributes, motor boats in remote parts of the jungle. And she's like, really? No, not really. Are you kidding me? You know, I love picking on gullible people, but it's a trusted truth. And on a more serious note, this trusted truth gets passed down from generation to generation. I read about a family that had a tradition where they cut their Christmas ham, and they would cut about 3/4 of the way over on their Christmas ham, and they would cut that Christmas ham off, and they would only cook 3/4 of the ham. And, one day the granddaughter walks in the kitchen, and she's like, why don't we just cook the whole ham? And her mom said, well, you know what? It's just how we've always done it. I really don't know. And so she asked her mom, she asked the grandma, and she said, Grandma, why do we just cook this portion of the ham? And she went, I don't know. That's how mom always did. I really don't know. And so they called great-grandma in there. And great-grandma said, well, when I was cooking a ham, I only had a pan that big. I had to cut part of the ham off so it would fit in the pan. Sometimes we just accept things because that's how we've always done it. That's how we've always heard it. And so you've got an accepted truth, cultural norms, known science. Now, some people, are still debating, the flat earth theory. But there was a time when that was the known science. Like you get to a portion of the earth and you just fall off into the abyss. And that's what everyone thought. It was an accepted truth, a trusted truth, something that's been passed down to you that you've accepted as truth. Then the thirdly is what I would call convenient truth. Convenient truth is we decide and then we find sources to back up what we want to believe. And by the way, that's probably the most dangerous out of all of them. Years ago, we visited the Creation Museum. I'll never forget that first exhibit as we walked in. There was two archaeologists that they had staged there in that exhibit. And as I read the description, one believed in an old earth, one believed in a young earth. And they described these archaeologists as two people who were standing on a position, and then from their position was finding facts to support their position. So, the guy who believed in an old earth, he was using carbon dating to prove his position. The guy who believed in young earth, he was going off a global flood that would have affected the fossils and all of that, and that was his position. And you and I do this quite a bit. We decide what we believe, and then we pick and choose sources that will back up our position. But the fourth kind of truth is an absolute truth. Now, we have a question mark on a lot of truth or perceived truth in our life, but we do have an absolute truth. John 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. From the very beginning in Genesis 3, what did the serpent do? He put a question mark on what God said. And can I tell you that in the world that we live in, if the world around us can get us to put a question mark on what God says. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. A few years ago, I was invited to speak at a couple's banquet, and it was a 50s theme. So Holly and I got dressed up, and she was in one of those poodle skirts. You know what I'm talking about? They're like the 50s pleated skirts, and I think they call them poodle skirts. And she had her hair, all done up like they did in the 50s. I don't know. I wasn't around. So, Harold, poodle skirts?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you never worn one? I will accept that as truth. All right. Anyway, so they had these, you know, she had this poodle skirt on. It was this bright baby blue color, and I just had a regular suit on because I guess, you know, that's what guys wore in the 50s too. And so we're traveling down the road, and we're stopped at this light, the sun's shining, and this car pulls out and just gets creamed. I mean, it was bad. And have you ever witnessed like an accident like that, and you're thinking like, what just happened? And so we're about two cars back, and I get out of the car, and nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just kind of sitting there in shock. And I walk up, these two ladies have just been hit, and they're crying and everything. And they were okay. We were waiting on, the EMS to show up. And we waited there till the EMS come, and then a police officer came. And the police officer asked me what happened. And I told him, I said, you know, the sun was shining bright on that intersection, and she pulled out on a red light. And then this car come over here and hit. And so he asked for my number. I gave him my number, and I went and I spoke at this couple's conference, and it was less than exciting. You know, they played corny games, and it was like, okay, whatever. But I got a call from the sergeant from the police department, and I called him back after the event. He said, "Can you stop by the police department? I'd like to get your statement." I said, "Okay." So as I'm driving there, I'm trying to recall everything that happened in a split second that I wasn't looking for, that I wasn't paying attention to, and I tried to write down in detail everything that happened. And can I tell you something? I started questioning everything. Like, well, I think she was coming from that direction. Because he was asking me very specific questions. Like, well, when she pulled out, you know, was she coming out this way? And who moved first? I'm like, it wasn't like I was, you know, paying attention to that exact thing. I'm just trying to recall everything. And I had just spoken at this, you know, at this event. And I was all jumbled up, and I wrote out what I thought was exactly what happened, but it was a little fuzzy. So we have this same thing going on in our culture today. Do you realize that I could tell you a story as fact, and when it hasn't been that long ago, but when I was sitting in your shoes, I would have no or very few ways to legitimately verify that as truth. And you have that right at your fingertips. If I'm like, well, you know, it's like when Columbus came over, and I told you one of these bogus, like, weird stories or whatever, you could go, when did Columbus, you know, sail the ocean blue? In 14? Yes, see, there you go. Anyway, you can fact check just about everything, but really, is that true? And I know, listen, this is not like a conservative or liberal statement, but can you trust the search engine? Can you trust Google? Can you trust the people who are giving you these facts? Because there are, you know, many YouTubers out there who can make convincing arguments that we walk away, and we can be totally in left field about something very, very quickly and go down a rabbit hole and be like, well, you know, yeah, but this happened and that happened, just because someone had a convincing, you know, argument on the matter. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been totally convinced of something? There's scammers out there. I had an older couple that we were visiting, and we sat down and was talking, and you could tell that there was just a lot of tension between them. And finally, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And he said, you want to tell him? And she said, I guess. And she started going into this story. This guy called, you know, some Egyptian prince wanted to, you know, give him $1 million, but they had to wire this money, and they fell right into it. Now listen, you look at that and you go, I would never. I ordered a little I mean, they were into them like for $10,000, you know, in hopes to get a million because they just trusted the scam. I ordered this this container of paint. It was supposed to be like this magic rust removing paint, and it came in, had Chinese writing all over it, and what I thought was like this 5-gallon jug of paint was like this little tiny, you know, arts and craft little container that I paid $40 for and had it shipped to me from China somewhere. And you know, Holly just laughed at me, and I'm like, I did not think that I was going to get that. And what I'm telling you is you can't believe everything that's out there. So you just walk around with a question mark. And so the question is there absolute truth? You've got accepted truth. You have trusted truth. You have convenient truth. Is there absolute truth? And there's not a whole lot of things that you can trust in this world, but we better have God's word on the list of dependable in our life. I want to give you two things about being a discerning truth. Number one is this: be a truth seeker. Be a truth seeker. You ever repeat something because you just assumed that it was true? Be a truth seeker. If there is absolute truth, and I believe that there is, truth isn't just relative. Truth isn't just fit into my narrative. It has to shape our thinking. And the Word of God is absolute truth, has to shape our thinking. Now, there's not much help for us when it comes to, well, what about, is this website true or is that website true? But God gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is expedient, it's necessary that I go away. Well, why? I mean, his disciples were distraught. He says, it's expedient that I go away because if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. Capital C, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Comforter comes, one of the jobs of the Comforter is to guide us into truth. And so you and I, it's not this feeling or this weird, whichever way the wind is blowing and signs and wonders, and if the star falls at 12:01 tonight, then I'll know this is what I'm supposed to do. No. It's nothing like that. But you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and one of his jobs is to guide you to what is true. So it requires, I told our men, our young men last night in our prayer time, we kind of have this idea. I'm learning. I'm a slow learner, but I'm learning in my relationship with God that it's not about the one big decisions. It's just about the everyday steady relationship with him. I'm thankful for the big decisions, but my goodness, in life, we have to establish a day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus. And it's in that relationship that the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Have you ever had, I'm going to phrase it this way, and you tell me if you understand what I'm saying. Have you ever had a check in your spirit, like something's off about that? Could it be the Holy Spirit inside of you leading you into truth? So I want to ask you a couple questions here. In that relationship with God, if God is the true source of truth and there's absolute truth, again, Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And we're seeking truth. Is your relationship with God a personal relationship or a power relationship? I want to read you a quote. The author, Timothy Keller, writes this. He says, the importance of having a personal love relationship with God We know that in mutually loving relationships, both parties must be active agents, able to contradict as well as affirm each other. If person A is never allowed to express a contradictory opinion to person B, then person B has a power relationship with person A, but not a personal one. Now, if you choose to believe only those things in the Bible that you agree with, in what way do you have a God who can contradict you? Man, that is a heavy question. So if we only choose our truth, we're talking about the convenient truth. You ever met someone like this? You ever been guilty of this yourself? Man, you're reading through. I'm just going to tell you, there's things about the Bible that I don't personally like. Is that okay to say? You ever read something that you're like, don't like that? I don't like it. There's things that happen in the Bible that I read, and I'm like, that's not fair. Why did it have to go down like that? That's not right. Why did God do that? Wait a minute. I thought that, have you ever gone down that road? Well, here it is. If you have this personal relationship, what kind of relationship do you have if every truth that you read in the Bible is just the convenient truth? You'll hear this so much in our culture today. God is love. And so Jesus is accepted as a loving teacher, as a loving person who is always promoting love and always, and yes, absolutely, I agree with that. But that's the convenient part. God is also holy. And so his love and his holiness seem like there's tension against those, and we have to get familiar and also comfortable with that truth. Maybe not comfortable, but at least accepting of that truth. Let me read this again. He says, if person A is never allowed to express a contradictory opinion to person B, then person B has a power relationship with person A, but not a personal one. So if we choose to only believe those things in the Bible that you agree with, in what way do you have a God who can contradict you? You must have a God that is allowed to contradict what you think, what you feel. Only if your God can say things that upset you will you know you have a real God and not just a creation of your imagination. So an authoritative Bible is not the enemy of a personal love relationship with God. It is the precondition. So if we have this absolute truth in front of us, and that absolute truth contradicts something that we have accepted as truth, something that falls into that convenient truth mentality, something falls into a trusted truth. There's been things, and I love my parents, I love my grandparents, but there are things that we had just believed as a family that's just absolutely not so. You read the Bible, you start studying, and that tension is there of that contradicts everything in me. Now, Brother Harold said this morning, talking about the early church being everyone represented there. Can I tell you something? There are some churches and some families that contradicts maybe not what they say, but certainly how they act. So when the truth contradicts what we've trusted as truth or what we've accepted as truth or what has been in that realm of convenient truth, we cannot just pick and choose, but God has to have the ability to contradict you, to contradict me. So there are cultural norms in every culture, that are wrong. Now, we would believe that. I've heard of missionaries that have gone to different countries, started churches, and I personally listened to a missionary give testimony of when he first went into this village, and their cultural norm was to not have clothes on. And so they're in church, you know, and you know, nobody has clothes on. And how many of you would agree, man, that cultural norm for them is wrong? Would you agree with that? Like, I'm supposed to have clothes on, right? So if there are cultural norms that are wrong in their culture, do you think there are cultural norms that are wrong in our culture? You would say that, yeah, in the American culture, there are cultural norms that are absolutely wrong. But let's get more personal. Are there cultural norms in your family that God himself has not been allowed to contradict? He's not been allowed to touch. Because, well, you know, I know, but we just don't talk about that, you know, and we just kind of skate over that. No, God has to have the ability to address those things in our life. Just because you grew up thinking this way does not mean that that is the way it is. I want to read you another quote by Tim Keller. He says, in every culture, there are good and bad elements. That's true. No one culture is perfect or has it all together. No one culture has all truth. Now, for the sake of argument, he says, imagine that the Bible is not the product of any one human culture or set of authors, but it is a revelation from God himself. He says, for the sake of argument, I say, well, that's the truth. If that were the case, then it would have to offend every person's cultural sensibilities somewhere. No matter who you are, you inhabit an imperfect culture that shapes your beliefs and the Bible. If it were authoritative revelation from God, it would then have to be outrageous to you at some place. Since that is the case, it is no argument against the Bible to say, it offends me at this point. That is precisely what we should expect. So, first thing I mentioned to you is, we ought to be a truth seeker. Now, I grew up, and I can remember grandparents on my side and grandparents on Holly's side. They both love, like, the detective kind of shows. Have you ever seen, like, the detective shows back in the 80s? And they're kind of humorous to go back and watch now. You know, Matlock and Murder, She Wrote, and, you know, all these different detective shows. And all of them have one thing in common. You have a detective there, and his purpose is to find out the truth. What really is the truth? Well, discerning truth starts with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God working through the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. I think we ought to be as accurate as we possibly can. You're looking up, you know, you're looking up all this stuff, and I get down these rabbit holes. I kind of like listening to the conspiracy theories. I don't know if you're like that too, but I'm not saying I believe all of them, but I kind of like listening to them anyway, you know. And then it puts a question mark. Oh, huh? Did the moon landing really happen? Did it? I don't know. You know why? Why is, like, you know, this floating, but this isn't floating, and, you know, so it makes you, like, question everything about the moon landing. And is that really, is Bigfoot real? I don't know. You know, who knows? You know, I legitimately have a neighbor that is a believer, man. He believes that Bigfoot is out there somewhere, and he's like, well, I have two reasons why I believe this. He says, number one, the Indians believed it. I'm like, well, okay. They believe in a lot of mystical things there, buddy. You know, number two, he said the government says it's not true. And that's the other reason I believe it. And yeah, this is the same guy that was having a heart attack and was sitting down there with hot sauce. He wouldn't go to the doctor. Like, he's just nursing on hot sauce. And he calls me up and he says, "Hey, if I'm not in church," he comes to church on our midweek service for Bible study, and he goes, "If I'm not in church tonight, just check on me. I'm probably dead." What in the world? Number one, like, how did I get these neighbors? You know, what a wonderful, wonderful guy. I had this guy in our church, and he said the vaccine, I was changing our DNA. Listen, you may be down that road. I don't care. It was changing our DNA, and the 5G in our phones was going to activate it, and we were all going to be cyborgs. And he was coming to church, and we just have grace with people. You know, we have a lot of weirdos on a lot of different spectrums, and I'm one of the weirdos, but not that kind of weirdo, but a weirdo anyway. And he says to me, he went in church for a couple weeks, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "well, they sprayed chemtrails on my place. I saw the government planes going by." I'm like, "Dude, no one knows who you are. Like, you are not on any government radar right now." But anyway, there's people who, like, they just buy into whatever. You know somebody like that? Anybody like that themselves? No, you don't have to answer that. My point, though, is we have to be discerning about the information and the source of information that we get. And we can't always know. We can't always just take the best presentation and go, "Okay, that sounded good. That fits into my narrative. That's what I want to believe, and so that's what I'm going to push." No, you do have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that even in those issues, you can say, "God, I don't know what to believe about this stuff." And can I tell you something? Some of this stuff, in the grand scheme of things, really don't matter. It really don't matter. My neighbor claims to be a Christian. He knows a lot of the Bible. But can I tell you something? I couldn't tell you if he is more concerned about converting people into his conspiracy theories than he is converting people to Christ. So some of this stuff is just a distraction to get us off course. Some of the things that we're so passionate about doesn't even matter. But when it comes to the Word of God, the absolute truth, we must be a truth seeker. And the last thing that I want to give to you here is to be a truth speaker. You might not be able to know if everything you hear is true, but can I tell you, everything out of your mouth should be true. It's kind of one of them big ones. Like, we talk about the little white lie. We talk about, "Well, you know, I really didn't lie. I just didn't tell, you know, the whole truth," right? And I want to encourage you in these ways. I would rather someone just be totally honest with me, even when it's difficult, even when it makes them look bad, even when they might get in trouble. It's always best just to speak the truth. Oh, we could talk about many different verses. How about just lie not one to another? Would you agree that, I mean, God is not okay with us lying? And I would say that purposefully misleading someone, leaving out this little part, because I know if I don't tell them that will lead them in this direction instead of what is true. Listen, we just ought to be in the habit of speaking the truth, even when it makes us look bad, even when we might get in trouble for it. I used to tell my wife, we had this thing, and I'm done, but we had this little conflict in our marriage. And it was based around my family. Now I have great in-laws. I have a great family, but there was this thing of, well, we would go over to my parents and we would stay longer than she wanted to stay, and I would stop by, and I wouldn't tell her. I'd leave my phone in the truck, a lot of times early on in marriage, especially because I knew it was a point of contention. I don't really like conflict. I just wouldn't say anything about it. And it finally came to just like this boiling point, and you know, we had a stern discussion. It was a discussion. I would call it a discussion. Maybe a, I don't know. It was okay. We had a fight about it, and as we're talking through it, you know what I did? I gave Holly access to my phone. She knows where I am all the time. She tracks me like a dog, and not in a vindictive way or anything, but I found myself like saying things that just weren't like, I'm leaving right now, just pulling out, haven't even gotten the truck yet, you know. Yep, be home about 10 minutes. I know that I'm 20 minutes away, man. And then on the way, start making up excuses like, there's traffic, I got behind a slow truck, why? Just speak the truth. So in these four areas, just to recap, there's accepted truth. There's truth in your life that's not truth, but you've accepted it as truth because everybody accepts it as truth. There's trusted truth. There's things that's been told to you by someone you love, by someone you trust, and it's not truth, but, well, you've accepted it because it's come from a trusted source. There's convenient truth. There's things that you want to be true. There's things that you want that to be true. Therefore, you just find the facts that support your case. But there's absolute truth. And when it comes to the Word of God, and when it comes to life, we need to be a truth seeker and a truth speaker. You cannot control what other people do or say or the information they put out there, but you can control what you say and the information that you put out there, and make sure that what you're saying is truth. People get up on the stand. It used to be anyway, in the quarter, at least in the 1980, detective shows that my grandparents liked to watch. They'd get up on the stand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Now, I know the whole thing about swearing, but shouldn't that be our heart? I'm just going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, for God's glory. Be a truth seeker and be a truth speaker. Lord, thank you for the truth that you've provided for us. Lord, there's things about your word that it is uncomfortable. It's hard to reconcile. It contradicts things that I have believed. And Lord, I want to thank you for loving me enough to exposing that and confronting me with that. Lord, there might be things here this week that we're confronted with that just doesn't line up in our convenient truth. God, I pray that we would allow you, myself, number one, we would allow you the relationship status in our life to be able to contradict us and show us areas that we need to change and confront in our life. And Lord, I pray that we would be seeking truth and speaking truth, and all for your glory. Thank you for the truth that you've given us. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.